All right, so call to the meeting to order. This is the April 17th meeting of the Seaport Alliance Audit Committee. With me is Don Johnson, Claire Petrich, and Peter Steinbrück's on the phone. You can hear us, Peter?
Hello, yes.
Hi, Peter.
Can you hear us?
Yes. You're a little faint, Brad.
Is that an echo? All right, well, you have to hear me multiple times. Here, I'm going to pull it in closer. How does that sound?
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, there's an echo that probably will, if we can eliminate that, it'll probably be clearer. All right, are we able to approve the minutes? Do I have a...
I move that we approve the minutes of December 19th.
And just pull.
And I'll second that.
All right, so we're going to approve the minutes. All in favor of the approving the minutes from the April 7th meeting? Or no, I'm sorry. Those meeting minutes were from?
Last January.
December 19th, right. So Peter, really, thank you for the opportunity. All right, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So minutes are approved, and we'll send those around here. All right, so first up, we have to see if there's, on the consent calendar, is there anything on the consent agenda other than the meeting minutes? No. So time for public comments, and I didn't see any signed up. So if there are anybody in the audience, speak now, forever hold your peace, if there aren't anybody but staff. All right, so hearing none, let's hear from Darren and introduction to our various audits. So we don't have a mic down there?
No, we do.
Yeah. All right, so just for Peter's benefit.
Peter, are you sure Steinbrück, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So this, I'll start by reading this from the chart. Northwest Seaport Alliance Audit Committee, state auditor and commissioner, they have not other audits that may occur is the Washington State Performance Audit, and also there are volunteer funds operational audits.
All right.
So before I turn it over to RSM, I just want one more thing. I want to remind you that during this transition period, the whole board of people are responsible for performing all of the activities that and information is now summarized and sent to systems that work from their catch up with work from data is also kept separate and needs from consolidation of this so just wanted to make sure that again still
and as such RSM distinguishes the fact that they do not verify per se the data that are brought to you, right? You're saying that these are external to you? I thought I saw some qualifying statement at the very end. I guess it's just a general auditing policy, but I guess we'll get to that. And the state audit comes when?
In the fall.
All right, great. So thank you very much. And if I could just interrupt, not to discourage the fact that we get better with time, but won't the next one be a little bit more complicated with the actual completion of the basically the standalone of the, so that will be almost like a different audit, wouldn't it?
In some ways it will, yes, that's for sure.
You know, if I could just add to that, I think it's important to note that yes, we have data that originates in both the home ports. And we have set up, from an accounting perspective, we're segregating the data in a way that actually is sustainable beyond the transition period. And what we're able to do is leverage existing systems with both the home port. So actually, even beyond the transition, the accounting activities, with a few modifications, some of the billing activities that occur in the Port of Seattle will transition into a new system. But beside that, this is actually a very cost-effective solution that really does achieve the intent of a separate entity from an accounting and financial reporting. So even beyond the transition period, we may have a model very similar to this.
It's encouraging. Yeah. So let's hear it. Could you bring the mic closer to you again for Peter's sake?
Thank you. that we'll discuss it with management and recommend how it can be improved in the future. And the audit was performed in accordance with GAAP and with government auditing standards. This next slide walks through.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Isn't it the quality of the controls one of the things that I know at the Port of Seattle that in order for things to be auditable, right? I think this was that line I was referring to. It's like you're assuming our controls are good unless something jumps out at you.
We do a walkthrough of the controls to ensure that they're working in the manner that they've been described to us. What Brianna is referring to is that we don't opine on that, on the control, the effectiveness of those controls. If we should find that a control wasn't working, that could elevate to a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or material weakness.
So this slide walks through the audit approach. In the fall, we start with our planning procedures, where that's really the time where we look pretty close. We do those walkthroughs of the internal controls and then set up our what we anticipate will be the significant accounts that we'll analyze at final. And then during the field work, we actually test the significant balances, and then we migrate to the far right portion of the slide, which is where we're at today, actually going over the conclusion of the audit and discussing with all of you. And then, so during the audit, we looked at all the significant balances, and we use a variety of procedures. We look at confirmations, we perform substitute procedures, and also analytical procedures, and through all of that, gain comfort that the balances are stated correctly. We also look at journal entries and future commitments, and then comb through the disclosures and ensure that those are all in accordance with the appropriate guidance. We also specifically discuss with management these three specific areas, the allocation of the expenses to each of the home ports, the joint venture accounting, and also the adoption of the GASB 68 related to the pension, and that has some disclosures going with it.
And just a little more detail around that, if you recall, in the 2016 audit, the Seaford Alliance didn't have any actual employees and were not participating as an entity as a part of the PERS retirement plan. That changed effective 1-1 of 2017. So although GASB 68 was applicable a couple of years ago, 17 was the first year that it was applicable to the Alliance. So that resulted in an adjustment, a pickup of the liability, pension liability, and I don't remember the dollar amount, Darren. Either way, it resulted in a recording of a liability related to that pension liability. Okay, Leanne?
Thank you. So I'm going to go through the financial information at a pretty high level here. I will note that all of these numbers that are on these slides are in thousands, just so you are aware of that. So this first slide details out the various assets. So you'll see there in total about 269 million assets at the end of 17. The bulk of that is capital assets of 152 million. You'll see a big jump in that number from last year. Much of that was the Pier 4 investment that was made this year. And then the rest of that is the current asset bucket of 113 million. The next slide here details out the liabilities and your net position. Not a lot of changes on the liability side. Much of that is just due to timing of when those liabilities were paid or incurred. Your total net position there, you'll see there that of the 207 million of net position, the majority of that is your net investment in the capital assets. The next slide here is your income statement. You'll see there that your operating revenues were pretty flat year over year, as well as your operating expenses. Depreciation there was very little depreciation last year just because that was the first year of the Alliance. As we got into 17, there were some projects that were completed, so depreciation then started at that point. But overall, your operating income pretty consistent year over year. Net operating income there, you can see there's a pretty big change there. There was a unique contribution last year, so that number in the 2016 column is a little unusual there. Capital grant contributions, a lot of that is just due to timing as well. so that's why that number is a lot smaller. But overall, an increase in net position of about $110 million.
Can I interrupt here for a second? I think if you go back to that slide, it's an income statement. So operating income, you list there at 109, and mine is showing 185.
Yeah, that's a good, we found an error as we were preparing this afternoon while we were here, so I apologize for not being able to email those back out, but we corrected it on the document that's presented up on the slides, and we can certainly route the corrected version.
So the 109 is correct.
The 109 is correct.
Okay, so it was the one that was handed out as well.
That is incorrect. So. Just for that
number. Just want to say we're paying attention.
Yeah, good catch.
Yep. Right, this next slide is your cash flow statement. So this shows where the cash went in or out. So cash provided by operating, $102 million. Your net cash used in non-capital financing of $113. That basically is your distributions back to the home ports. And then net cash used in capital and related financing, just $834,000 used there. That's basically the net of the contributions from the home ports and the investment in your capital assets. And then your net used, net cash used in investing was just over $3 million. So a total decrease in cash this year of about $15 million.
All right, so the last little bit that we're gonna talk about is just the final required communications.
Lisa, I think Commissioner Steinbrück might have
a question. Sorry.
Peter, if you're speaking, please speak up.
Yeah, let me, this is Lisa. Let me make sure I've heard your question correctly. I think you're asking in the 2017 column on the summary of the cash flow statement, what is the makeup of the decrease in cash of $15 million?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what Leanne was describing in the four line items above that show the summarized cash flow activity. But to sort of break it down, essentially what was done during the year is that between distributions to the home ports and the costs associated with the capital assets, you spent more money than that you brought in during the year. You used some of the cash reserves from last year to fund some of those activities. Some of that is timing. If
yes.
The contributions hadn't been received from the home ports to support some of that capital activity, this only shows the cash actually that went in and out the door during the year. Does that answer your question?
Well, I have more to work with, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
Commissioner, I think it's important to understand that the operating cash is designed to go back to the home ports, but from a process perspective, we're on about a 1 month lag to be able to do that. So it's important to note at the end of 2016, the cash was much higher. So you really have to look at that in aggregate. It's just a timing difference when you look at a single year. And so if you look at nearly $22 million in 2016, that's just really reflective that that carries over into the next year. So when you look at those in total, it's still positive.
Good question. All right, so the next slide is some required communication that our standards expect us to do at the end of the audit. So as Brianna mentioned in the beginning, we perform our audit under generally accepted auditing standards, and this year we also included government auditing standards at the request of Seattle's home port auditor, and it helped probably the state auditors as well. That just resulted in some additional testing related to compliance with laws and regulations that hadn't been formalized before, so not a huge impact to the audit. But just a reminder that we do sample, we don't test 100% of the transactions, but based on the testing that we've done, we can opine on the financial statements being materially correct. At the end of the audit, just as a reminder, we do ask that management sign the representation letter, just confirming that everything that we asked during the course of the audit, they're reaffirming, and any other specific representations that we feel need to be in writing, and we received that without issue. We did not have any significant difficulties during the audit. As I mentioned, I think there's still some learning curve, but I think it was much better this year than last year from a strictly coordination standpoint.
And Lisa, it might be helpful just to, you know, as you're referring to URSM and do a sampling, it's important, I think, to remind the public as an industry, that is the approach. So you could take out RSM, insert Moss Adams or any other firm,
that is
the standard approach in terms of how any
audit would be performed. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Erin, for clarifying that. Another couple of things, we did not have any disagreements with management, which I think is important for this group to understand that while they make their decisions and we have to audit them, we were in agreement with the approach that was taken by management. There were no major issues discussed prior to our retention. And then the last couple things are about the overall practices of the Seaport Alliance. So we certainly look at past practices and to see that they're still relevant today. And we look at any new practices and make sure that one, if they were newly adopted, that they were adopted correctly. The most significant one here would have been, as I mentioned, GASB 68 related to pensions. And we make sure that the disclosure is appropriate and reasonable. And accurately stated. Lastly, we do look at internal controls, as was mentioned earlier. We did not identify any control deficiencies that needed to be reported in writing to this group, so I think that's really positive results, particularly in year two of a newly formed organization as complex as this. And I think lastly, this is a real testament to both home ports and not only the coordination between those two, but the sense of pride that's taken in the work is that there were no audit adjustments identified, nor did we have any uncorrected misstatements. So just to differentiate those, an audit adjustment would be something that we would certainly come to management and say, this is significant enough that it needs to be reported. So we did not identify any of those. But then often during our test work, we might identify something that's relatively minor, and we accumulate those and review those at the end of the job to make sure that in total they're still minor. We didn't have any uncorrected misstatements. So that just tells you that the quality of the work is very high in both home ports. So very commendable to both of those groups.
If I could just...
are correct, sir. It was a very clean audit. Yes, sir.
Well, we're on a roll, right, since we've had the first full audit, right?
Right.
So the difference of the $72 million difference between our capital assets is, you know, we're talking about three and four.
Yep.
I mean, what were the crane acquisitions? Was that part of that, or when did those get counted? Because they just got delivered.
Those were 2018. The cranes, the new cranes were 2018.
Some of it was in 2017, but most of it was in 2018.
All right, so we're yet to see that.
You'll see a big jump in 18
that'll
as well.
That'll be a nice bump, huh?
Yeah.
And I appreciate your comment about how you were able to see the due diligence that was made. And you know, very often, certainly my predecessors point out what a great idea the Alliance was and how smart from an economic perspective that it is working. But obviously it's the staff that make it possible, and
right. Glad
to hear that it's working out. My chair just deflated on that.
All right.
I was trying to rise up and acknowledge the staff, and I'm all right, but thank you for that. All right.
So I think I just have one more slide, just a couple of things that are coming down the pike. And I'm going to just talk really too about the two that are effective in 2019 and 2020. And the most significant of this is the standard related to 2020, related to leases. The leasing standard is changing in its entirety. So the concept for those that are a little more familiar with leases of having operating leases goes away. So if you're a lessor, you record a receivable on the balance sheet. If you're a lessee, you record a liability on the balance sheet. The interesting thing with the Seaport Alliance is that the home ports still own those leases. So I think there'll be some complexity in identifying, you know, where that falls out. That's not applicable till 2020, so it allows both the home boards to get through one more year of transition and then start thinking about that in 19 as they get close to the adoption of that.
So actually, this was the thing, that whether you're a landlord or a direct operator,
right,
and how that get, that's going to be the challenge in the accounting.
I think this is segregated specifically to tenant, that lease or arrangements. I think you're referring to whether or not a port is an operator or a landlord port. This is actually strictly third-party relationships. So if we terminal leases, all terminal leases would be impacted. The accounting might be a little bit different as an operator because we're not leasing the land, but it really is uniformly to lease arrangements, third-party arrangements, and the accounting. It won't affect the cash, but what will happen is you'll see a divergence, I think,
yep,
from what's in the P&L to what you're receiving in cash, which just makes it, you know, more difficult for the accountants to help, you know, readers of the financial statements understand how we're processing both the accounting for a lease and how the cash is coming in.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So it really shouldn't impact us financially, but it's a large work issue for the accounting groups.
That's correct. I wouldn't say that in total the cash flow is not impacted over a period of time, but the accounting and the look of your financial statements will be different,
yeah,
as it relates to leases. Then the last thing, as Brianna mentioned before, we're at the end of our process. The state auditor takes over from here. And as Darren mentioned, there is no single audit requirement this year, but they still have a responsibility to review our work papers and make sure that they agree with the work that we've done. And then they ultimately will post the audited financial statements on their website to be available to the public. And that will happen sometime late summer, early fall. And this is something they've done. This is their normal process.
So are they on a regular schedule or only when they feel
they're on
worthy?
They're on a fairly regular schedule. Yep.
So, but we don't expect a full audit this year.
That's correct. You don't have you didn't receive enough federal grants this year to have a single audit by the state auditor's office, but in 2018 you will.
What's the threshold for that?
$750,000.
All right. So do we? Well, thank you for that. Do we have any other questions from the, any other elucidating points? All right, well, if that's it, then.
Thank you for working with the auditors, but the work of our staff looks so good.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And so if there's no other comments from the commission.
I'd like to make one comment. As I've spoken about many times in the past, what makes this work is the great communications between the auditing firms and great individual ports, and without that communication, we're going to have problems. And if we don't want to have problems, that communication has to be there all the time. And if we go through the changes over the next year, that communication even has to get bigger, especially with all the changes that are coming up in the accounting standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank the audit group for maintaining that communications level, because without that, I think we'd have much more problems. And the communications, because you're not our judge, you're our ally. And I think it's important for us to realize all audits are really our allies and not our enemies. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Excellent. Well, I would like to, if there's no further business, like to adjourn the audit committee of the Seaport Alliance, where we're meeting at the Fabulous Center, which we did not mention before here in Tacoma. And the time is not immediately in front of me, on April 17th at 2:48. Thank you.